Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast with Rodney and Michelle Gage, a podcast designed to help you win at home and in life.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Winning Family Podcast, a podcast designed to help parents raise spiritual champions. One of the things that we're extremely passionate about here at the Winning Family is this simple truth, and that is when the family succeeds, everyone wins. And that's exactly what we're going to be helping parents do today. Right. We're talking about how to teach your kids the Bible. This is a huge conversation. And so with that, we're going to tell you everything you need to know. Not really, but we're going to do our best because this is a huge topic. And my goodness, you could do a whole course. In fact, it took me 3.5 years to even go to seminary to learn a fraction of what I actually even know about the Bible. But all that to say, one of the things that we want to help you do today is pass on something very helpful and practical. I think it's going to be beneficial to you as a parent, but also to your kids, because again, our goal is to help you help them become spiritual champions. So today I'm, of course, joined by my wife, Michelle.
Hey, everybody. We're excited about this subject.
Yeah.
I love it.
We are obviously very passionate about this specific topic. And I want to read a couple of stats to you, or share a couple of stats to you that I, in some ways, man, it's heartbreaking, but at the same time, I'm sure you're probably one who will hear this stat and is saying, oh my goodness, that's I'm in this category. I'm in that group. And George Barna, who's kind of like the George Gallup, if you will, of so many, you know, studies and findings of all the research they do. George Barna's kind of known in that Christian space and has studied churches and Christianity for many, many, many years. Here's what he discovered. He learned that 1 out of 5 parents do not believe that they are doing a good job when it comes to training their children morally and spiritually.
That's almost depressing, isn't it?
Yeah. And what's crazy is out of the 15 different indicators to measure parenting performance, ranked their efforts related to morality and spirituality at the bottom of the list. Mm-hmm. So in other words, parents are basically saying, hey, if I were to give myself a grade in all these other areas that I help my kids succeed in, the ones that we're not doing so good of a job with is in the area of teaching our kids about spiritual matters or issues of morality. And that's really where I feel like we come in, is we want to help kind of champion that process. Right. We want to give you the tools that you need and really give you the encouragement that you need. Yeah. Because
we all need that.
Yeah,
we all need encouragement and tools to help us grow.
And I think, too, sometimes we overcomplicate it.
That's true.
Yes. You know,
that's true.
I'm one of these guys like, hey, just keep it simple. You know, let's put the cookies down here in the lower shelf so we can all enjoy them, right?
100%.
So this is not something that's, you know, going to be deep or heavy, or, you know, we're not going to try to impart to you all this theological, you know, information about the Bible. That's not our wheelhouse. That's not really our lane. It's just, you know, not that it's not important.
Right. Of course, we love the Bible.
But
love to dig deep.
I think, rather than most of you trying to figure out, you know, the latest
archaeological.
See, that's why it's not in our lane.
There you go. We exposed ourselves big time right there.
Archaeology is what I was trying to say. You know, what I want to help you with more is on the day-to-day practical things.
There you go.
Because, I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road at the end of the day.
Yes.
You know, we believe that God's word is God's love letter to us. We believe it is his playbook for parenting. We believe it is the foundation for truth. It is the source of truth. And so, again, not to overcomplicate it and not to oversimplify it, but I think to put it in relevant terms so that we can all apply it is the most important thing. And especially when it comes to our kids, because where else are they learning this stuff?
Right,
you know,
right.
Who else is teaching our kids the Bible? Unless they are, you know, privileged to maybe go to a Christian private school, you know, that's teaching some of these things.
Right, and if you're taking your kids to church, which we pray you are, that's once a week, you know, at best twice.
Yeah.
And we've got a whole week with however many hours in that week that we have the opportunity to help our kids learn and understand God's love letter to them.
Absolutely. And yeah. You may be a homeschool parent, you know, and you've taken this, you know, assignment upon yourself to say, you know, hey, the ball's in my court. I'm the one who's the teacher here. I'm the principal, the teacher. I'm the PE coach. I mean, I'm everything.
Counselor.
And so, again, we just want to come alongside to encourage you because, again, our goal is to help you help your kids become who God made them to be, to be the spiritual champions He has truly made them to be. Yeah. So with that in mind, let me just share a couple of things that I think will be helpful because, and this is really the heartbreaking issue, and this is why we felt led to even talk about this, because studies now show that 40 to 50% of young people who are raised in church or in a youth group, listen to this, will drift away from God after they graduate from high school. Mm-hmm. 40 to 50%.
We're old enough and we've been doing church long enough to know that that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. 42 million are expected to leave the church between the years 2020 and 2050, according to the Pine Tops Foundation. That's staggering to me. So my question would be, why? Why are they leaving? Mm-hmm. Why are they choosing to maybe turn their back on the church or turn their back on God or leave their faith or, as kind of the new buzzword, is deconstruct their faith, so to speak? I'm just convinced simply because a lot of kids don't know what they believe and they don't believe what they know.
Haven't been constructed on a strong foundation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So therefore, when their faith is challenged and, you know, they're kind of thrown out there in the lion's den, so to speak, they are eaten alive by the culture, by, you know, somebody else who may be more confident in their view of things. And so therefore, again, our kids are being exposed to a lot of things that they don't have answers for. Maybe they're searching and seeking for truth, and they're struggling on how to know what to believe and why they should believe it. And just because something might be popular doesn't necessarily mean it's true.
Right.
So two wrongs doesn't make a right. Mm-hmm. And yet in today's culture, in reality is that the more wrongs there are, that everybody is unified around, then that must make it right.
Wow.
So, that's true. You know,
I just want to say,
unpack it.
In the middle of that, don't mean to interrupt you, but if you are a parent that is, you know, speaking words of life and teaching your kids the Bible and doing the best that you can, we just want to encourage you.
Absolutely.
You know, because God's word doesn't return void. Mm-hmm. And you're planting seeds, and sometimes we can't see the seed when it's growing, when it's germinating underneath the ground. God's at work. God's at work. Be faithful. And we just want to encourage you. And I do think that there is a segment of us that maybe that we weren't raised in a home where we were taught the Word of God and how to read the Word of God, how to apply the Word of God to our lives. So I think that's where we're at. We want to encourage you if you are sharing the Word of God in your home. We want to encourage you to continue in this podcast. But if maybe you weren't given the tools to know how, we want to share with you what was imparted to us, which is a huge gift that we don't take for granted in our life, that our parents taught us the Word of God. And it's the foundation that we've been able to build our life upon and then our home upon. Mm-hmm. And so grateful for that. So Let's dive into some of this.
And I just want to say, you know, I realize, and this is what I have found, Michelle, is that, again, there are many of you that may be listening or watching and you're thinking, that's me. You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and, you know, I didn't even come to know the Lord until later in life or whatever.
Or even recently.
Yeah. And so, and here you are at that place where you're like, man, I'm longing for this in my life. Mm-hmm. And how can I teach my kids something that I've never even come to understand myself?
And you're not behind. You're right on time.
Absolutely.
God has you right where you're at.
That's why we want to make it practical.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why, hopefully, you know, what we're going to be talking about today will not only help your kids, but it's going to bless you. It's going to help you. Because again, it's just standing in confidence that we are standing on that solid, firm foundation of the truth of God's word. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you mentioned something I think is kind of unique because, you know, Jesus and specifically the Bible uses certain metaphors. And one of the metaphors that's used a lot, especially in the New Testament, is the word planted, mm-hmm. Which is referring to, you know, seeds. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously that was agriculture, you know, that was their livelihood, mm-hmm. you know, and so whether it was farming or, you know, livestock or whatever. So a lot of terminology is talked about how we are to plant, sow.
Right.
We are to put seeds, as you stated a while ago, you put them in the ground. Yeah. But at the same time, it also refers to soil. Mm-hmm. So when you think about planting, when you think about reaping, well, one of the things that's important for us to understand is that the seed, which represents the word of God, the truth,
right.
we plant, we sow that into the hearts of our children. However, the soil, as mm-hmm. you know, in real life, if you plant a seed in hardened soil, it's probably not going to do that great.
Right.
But if you put that seed into fertile soil that's been well prepared and is nurtured and cultivated, the healthier the soil is, the more prepared it is, the greater the fruitfulness, the greater the harvest in terms of what will come forth
yes.
from the seed that you've planted. And another thing the Apostle Paul even talked about in the scripture is it talks about how one plants the seed, one comes along and waters, but ultimately God gives the increase.
Yes.
So it might even be the fact that you're sowing, you're teaching, you're talking about certain things
yeah.
to your children. It might be reinforced through the watering aspect of all these other things. And who knows, God may use all of that as preparation of the soil of their heart to give the increase that maybe may manifest and present itself years down the road. Mm-hmm. But that's why that scripture you talked about earlier, that God's word doesn't return void, that's the effort you're putting in. That's why it's worth every effort that you put into prioritizing this, because again, God's going to honor it. He's going to bless it. And only God can change and transform the hearts. Mm-hmm. So this is not about getting more knowledgeable. It's ultimately it's getting wiser.
Yes.
And it's not to make us, you know, our heads bigger
prideful,
with information.
Right.
No, it's ultimately allowing it to change us, to transform us.
Yes.
So with that kind of in mind, let us kind of walk you through. In fact, I'm holding in my hand, or not holding in my hand, but I'm holding up my hand here, you know, five fingers. And just pretend like what we're talking about today is just written on the tips of your fingers, okay? Because it's a kind of a visual to remind you and reinforce what we're talking about, because it's like me holding this book here. If I am holding on with all five fingers, then guess what? It's going to be a lot harder for you to pull it out of my hand, right? Mm-hmm. But if I'm only holding it with two of these, you can easily snatch it out of my hand. So it's important that we have a firm grip on the Word of God. And as we have a firm grip on God's Word, it gives us more security. It just allows us to be able to be more confident. And that's what we want for our kids. That's how they're going to become spiritual champions, is as they become more secure and confident in what they know and why they know it when it comes to the truth of God's Word. So how can we do that? You know, Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9 is an excellent reminder as parents, the role and responsibility we have. I think so often it's easy for us to say, well, this is what the pastor is supposed to do. This is what the youth minister is supposed to do. This is why we take our kids and drop them off at church for an hour so that somebody else can teach them that. Well, that's to be a support, not the primary means of teaching. And so according to Deuteronomy 6, God has called us as parents to be the ones to teach, to reinforce, to talk about it when we're sitting at home, when we're driving down the road, just to make it a lifestyle, just an ongoing conversation about God's word and his truth. Judges 2:10 says this, "And there rose another generation after them who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done." And so the last thing we want is for another generation to come up not knowing who God is or the right. work that he has done.
Right.
So the only way that we can do that is to help impart God's truth to them. So how do we do that? Well, the first is this. Number one is we have to hear it. So we hear the word of God. The scripture says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God.
That's right.
So hearing the message, hearing the truth, hearing the Bible is huge.
Right. That's right. Yeah. And there's so many ways now for us to hear the word of God, for our children to hear the word of God. Obviously, we speak the word of God into mm-hmm. their life on a daily basis, if at all possible. The Bible says that we're supposed to walk, or we're supposed to talk about it as we walk along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a discipline in our life. We personally have to have the word of God in our hearts. We can't just get in the word of God. We got to get the word of God into us, as my daddy would say.
Right.
And there's a big difference between just hearing it, but getting it into you. And we'll talk about that in a second. But just hearing the word of God, we have podcasts like this one. We have scripture readings on the YouVersion. We obviously, you sit in church. You sit under the word of God, a Bible preaching church, a Bible believing pastor is so important, that our children are sitting under that pastor or that youth pastor, that they're hearing the word of God every mm-hmm. single Sunday, and that we put that high and high value, and it's really not an option that we are getting the word of God into their hearts into their ears and hearts and minds.
Yeah, and I would even include worship, you know, music as a part of that,
yeah.
not as a replacement,
right.
but it is to reinforce that. Because I remember, you know, again, as our kids were younger growing up, mm-hmm. we would drive to school and we would have worship music on, or we'd be listening to the contemporary Christian radio station. And just within that 30-minute, you know, drive from our house to dropping them off at school, we wanted them, once again, to hear, to be, you know, reminded, to reinforce, you know, what we are trying to teach at home.
The truth.
But yeah, but just letting them hear it, because, again, they're going to be hearing other stuff from kids, teachers, you know, other things they're exposed to. But we want them to hear the word of God. So
right, a lot of worship music, a lot of Christian music is based out of scripture.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's a great point.
So with our kids being so tech savvy and their world revolving around a smartphone, you know, yeah. in fact, you know, I know our son, he, and I'm sure your kids can relate to this, his top thing in life is not reading, for sure. But I can encourage him.
He's trying a lot harder.
But I can encourage him, like,
takes
well, hey,
him a little bit.
Listen to it on Audible.
Yeah.
And so, and as you stated, one of the things that, you know, he's much more motivated to listen, to hear, than to read, because he can retain it better. So again, we all learn and process things differently. But as you stated about YouVersion, the Bible app, which I'm assuming you've heard about, if you haven't, I would encourage you to go to the App Store, download. So they got the little brown little icon there. It just says Holy Bible, I think, on it. It's the Bible, yeah. YouVersion Bible app.
Pause this podcast. Go do it right now if you don't have it.
It's
amazing.
And it is phenomenal in the tools that it, in the resources that just the Bible app alone has. Mm-hmm. And you can click on daily Bible reading plans, and you can actually listen to somebody else reading the Bible to you, and all kinds of voices and even translations. It's amazing what it can do.
And how quickly you want it read to you.
Absolutely.
I like to listen to things quickly, but it's so good to read it, to hear it as you're reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which leads us to the second.
Yeah.
So think about the five fingers. So we hear it, and then the second thing is we read it.
Yes.
Now, it's impossible for us to grow spiritually in our lives without actually taking the time to read the Bible. It is a part of our, it should be our part of our everyday routine, our flow, our rhythm in our daily lives. The Bible says in James 1, this which is a great passage of scripture, by the way, James chapter 1, verses 22 and 25, it says, but don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and then you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. It's really interesting. It says, look carefully. So that simply means you read it, you reflect on it. But it uses the analogy of a mirror. And there's kind of like two ways that you can look into a mirror, right? You can kind of glance at yourself, or you can kind of gaze at yourself. And what God wants us to do is to look, as we read his word, he wants us to reflect on it. He wants us to gaze into it, linger there, read specifically what it is actually saying. So it's important that we hear it, that we read it. And honestly, I think it's important that we even read it out loud, because as we read it out loud, it kind of forces you to concentrate.
It's a next level.
Yeah.
That's good. That's really
and
good.
As we're doing that, mm-hmm. then it helps us also retain it. So we hear it, we read it. And then thirdly, we study the Bible. So it's one thing to hear it. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to read it just for the sake of reading it, which, by the way, let me pause here. You may be saying, hey, you know, stop real quick. I wish I would have, you know, addressed this at the very beginning. You may be thinking to yourself, we only have one Bible in our house, and it was the Bible that my great-grandmother passed down to us. And is there another kind of Bible we should be reading? Let me just make some recommendations to you, because this is really important. Mm-hmm. Your grandma's Bible's awesome, but there are so many amazing practical translations now that I would highly, highly recommend that you maybe if you just purchase one or two versions of these Bibles. Number one, let me encourage you to get my all-time favorite is what is referred to as the Life Application Study Bible, the Life Application Study Bible. I highly recommend the New Living Translation. It's just very, very easy to read. The New Living Translation, Life Application Study Bible. And the cool thing about the Life Application Study Bible is that they also have a student version. So in other words, it's designed for teenagers. And the Life Application notes that it has on what you're reading, it literally breaks it down. And kind of as a commentary, it's the notes that explains exactly what you just read. And the student version reads in a way that is in teen language, so to speak.
So great, yeah.
So it's very applicable, very mm-hmm. relevant, and it's very, very easy to understand. So it's just helpful when you think about reading the Bible, because I know it can be intimidating to read, you know, all the these and the thous, but get a modern translation. Another one I enjoy just for personal reading purposes is the New Passion Translation. Right. Not all the books of the Bible have been translated yet in the Passion Translation. It's called the TPT.
I think most of them have been. They're not all on YouVersion quite yet, but I believe you can purchase them individually.
Yeah, and some of them still might be
in
development too,
right.
In the Old Testament. But all that to say, again, there's a variety. The Message mm-hmm. is a paraphrase. It's not the actual translation, but it's a paraphrased version, which is still extremely good and easy to read. But so side good. Note there, these are just some tips that mm-hmm. we just strongly encourage you to help you learn and understand, not just for yourself, but ultimately as you talk through this and as you encourage your kids, because their pushback might be, well, that doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. And the reason why they may not understand it is because maybe they haven't found a translation that allows them to really understand and relate to. Because once they get into it and they start developing a hunger for it, the Bible comes to life. And once it begins to take root in their heart, that's where it has the power to literally transform our lives.
I love what my dad did for me. Is actually, I was a young adult. He gave me a daily Bible reading, or a Bible that had daily readings in it, a devotional Bible that was a daily reading Bible to read through the entire book of the or the entire Bible. But he also had the exact same Bible. Mm-hmm. And so he was making notes in his Bible. He would date it and he would make notes, and in order that we could talk about what we had read that day. And there's things that we can do like that with our kids just to help them grow. I think the more that we love the Bible, mm-hmm. the more that we do these things, it's obviously we teach by our example. And anyway, I love that my dad did that with me. And there's, like you said, they have youth versions that make it simpler to do that.
Yeah, and there's Bible for men, Bibles for women, you know, mm-hmm. Bibles for young girls. I mean, it's just, yeah. We live in a world today where we're so oversaturated with the Bible compared to other places around the world who don't even have Bibles. So, right. I mean, they're at our beck and call. Mm-hmm. So all that to say, we really don't have excuse not to even read the Bible. But let me just encourage you to find some of these type of Bibles that will help you, and I think help serve as a motivation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe make it special. You know, buy a Bible for your son or your daughter. Maybe get their name engraved on the cover. Our son-in-law, Dylan, you know, he gave us a really cool Christmas present that meant a lot to us. And there's mm-hmm. a Bible actually called the Legacy Bible. And it's basically kind of like what, now that we have a grandson and one on the way at the time of this recording, yeah. What's cool is that now we can actually write our notes like in the margin of things that we want to pass down to our grandkids.
Yes.
So again, all kinds of opportunities. So we hear the Bible, we read the Bible. Number three, we study the Bible. And one of the things that I recommend just to kind of jumpstart things is to read through a guided study plan. So, for example, there are 30-day reading plans. There are 90-day reading plans. I mean, again, sky's the limit. You could start with the book of John. You can start with the book of Philippians. You know, I just recommend just getting started somewhere. But once you hear it and you start reading it, then you want to take it to the next level, and that is to study it. And what does it mean by study? There's the difference between reading your Bible and studying the Bible. And here's the difference. Studying your Bible really requires two things. Number one, it requires you to write it down. So that's where sometimes it's good for you to actually have a journal or notepad or something where you actually write it down, or maybe type it in your notes there on your iPhone.
Mm-hmm. I've started a Google Doc, like just date it and just write my thoughts.
Yep.
For that day.
Write down, you know, what you just read, kind of what stood out mm-hmm. to you, what specific verse that really kind of just leaped off the page at you. But write down what you're learning, and then here's the kicker. Actually verbalize it. Talk, share, tell somebody right. else what you learned that day. Mm-hmm. Because what that does is it not only helps stimulate your own faith and give you the confidence, mm-hmm. but as we talked about earlier under hearing, mm-hmm. faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So therefore, as you're verbalizing it to someone else, now that person yeah. is hearing the word of God.
You can also verbalize it back to God through a prayer.
Absolutely.
That one main thought that you had for that day, God help me to walk this out in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's just asking God help me to apply, which we'll talk about here in a moment. So we hear it, we read it, we study it. Mm-hmm. And then number four, we memorize it. And man, this is huge. In fact, if I could encourage parents to help their kids do one thing to help them become spiritual champions, it is to memorize scripture. It's so vitally important. Mm-hmm. We have to get the word of God into their minds and ultimately into their hearts. And here's the reason why. Our beliefs shape the way we think, our thoughts shape the way we feel, and our feelings will ultimately drive the decisions that we make. So we got to get our beliefs right so we can get our thoughts right, get our emotions right so our actions can our behavior can be right.
That's right. And that can start young. I know this, we're talking mainly to preteens and teenage parents that have this age group, but you can also start young too. My parents, I'm so thankful that they invested into me. They put deposits of the Word of God into me. When I was a little girl, I remember sitting on the bed with my sister that, and there's four girls in my family. They were the only two of us at that point. So I had to be like 5-6 years old. And Mom and Dad had little index cards that they were teaching us the Word of God. And I know those scriptures today that I memorized on the bed when I was 6 years old. And I quote those scriptures today. I refer back to those scriptures today. They are life to me. And I will be forever grateful that they made that investment into me. And we have the option, we have the choice to do the same. It's not easy to memorize things in our world. We can't even memorize a phone number, you know, because it's right at our fingertips. But it's so very important that the fact of what you just said, it's ultimately, it will drive what we do.
Let me tell you the reason why I think it's so important that we memorize scripture. You know, the King David said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, so that I may not sin against you."
Right.
It's important that we get the Word of God into our hearts, because your kids are going to be at school, they're going to be around friends, they're going to see things, hear things, going to be exposed to things, and the enemy, who's out to steal, kill, and destroy, who's the father of lies, who's the master deceiver, he's going to do anything and everything he can to take the truth and distort it and twist it. There are going to be seasons and situations where your kids are going to be encountered with all kinds of temptations. When they're standing in the fork of the road, being pulled into conversations, being pulled into compromising situations, they can't stop and say, let me go home and get my Bible. They need to be able, right there, literally in the moment, they need to be spiritually aware and be able to instantly pull up a truth from the Word of God that is going to call that lie out, and that truth that's going to be the reinforcement. As Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God, we got to have the helmet of salvation. We got to have the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness. We got to have the shoes of the gospel. We've got to have the sword of the Spirit, and in all
the belt of truth,
yeah, wrapped around, tightened up around our waist. Yeah. I mean, all of these pieces of armor is what we got to send our kids out with each and every day. They need that. You need that. We all need it. And the only way we're going to survive spiritually and morally with this crazy, whacked out world is by knowing the truth and having the truth in our hearts and our minds. So the more truth our kids can get inside of them and memorized, they'll be able to have that confidence and that security. They'll know what they believe. They'll know why they believe it, because they're basing everything on the truth that they know in their hearts from the truth of God's word, which leads us to the last place, and that is applying it. So we hear it, we read it, we study it, we memorize it, and ultimately we apply it. Because this is the key. We can have all this knowledge and have all this information, but if it's not transforming and changing our lives, then what good does it do? And what we need more than anything is wisdom.
Right.
Our world is drowning in information. We got information running out of our ears. We got more information than we've ever had in the history of humanity. But do we have wisdom? And that's where our kids, more than ever, I think, are needing help and support and guidance, is they need to know wisdom. And where does wisdom come from? It comes from God.
Right.
Comes through his word.
Right.
And so the only way that we're going to ultimately set them up for success and become spiritual champions is to help equip them with the truth of God's word. I want to leave you with this. This is such an important verse to us at the Winning Family, but it's found in Joshua 1:8. And you could even add verse 9 to this. But Joshua 1:8, it says this: "Study this book of instruction continually." That means ongoing, continually. Mm-hmm. And then it says, "Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. And this is the only place in all of the scripture where there is a guarantee for success. It says, then and only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Mm-hmm. So if you want to prosper and succeed in everything you do in your life, your marriage, your career, the choices you make, man, if we want our kids to succeed and prosper in everything they do, the only way that they can achieve that is through understanding the power of God's word and living it out in their everyday lives.
That's right. Life's not what you do in a day, but it's what you do daily.
That's right.
And just simply getting into the word of God, even if it's just one or two scriptures a day and you do a devotion and you remember that and you apply that, that's more important than reading a whole book in a day. You know, it's
absolutely
just a matter of daily getting those wisdom seeds into your heart and mind and sharing them with your kids. And we teach by example. There's no greater way to teach our children than for them to know that we love God, we love His Word. That's the way that they're going to grow to be spiritual champions for Jesus and change our world and really live a life to the full is by the way we lead them. So it starts with us as parents. It starts with us. And you can do it.
That's right.
You can do it. We can challenge the norm of this culture. We can be different. We can be the light and salt to the world and to our homes.
That's the reason why we're so passionate here at the Winning Family about this simple statement, and that is when the family succeed, everyone wins. It really is true. And so let me just encourage you today, hey, just be reminded as parents, hey, the greatest contribution you could possibly make in the lives of your life may not be necessarily what you do, but it might just be who you raise. And so we want to help you raise those spiritual champions and leave that mark, that legacy that will have an eternal impact forever and forever. And so with that, let me encourage you to get a copy of this book called Why Your Kids Do What They Do, Responding to the Driving Forces Behind Your Teen's Behavior. If you want to get a copy of that book and get the free digital workbook that goes with it, all you got to do is simply text the word KIDS to the number 1-833-213-8957. And that will be an opportunity for you to get the book directly and get the free digital workbook that's a companion that goes with it. Well, we trust that today's Winning Family podcast has been helpful and practical to you as we've talked about how to teach your kids how to read the Bible. And so let us just encourage you to continue to be all that God has destined to you for you to be, because we believe, once again, that when families succeed, everyone wins.